Well, Hudson, welcome to Outbeat Now.
Thanks for having me.
Well, why don't you start by telling us a little about yourself, where you grew up, and how you got interested in wrestling?
I started wrestling when I was 6 years old. So in many ways, I think my sport was chosen for me. Back then, I didn't really know what wrestling was about. I think it was just a sport which my parents could put me in to exert a lot of energy so that I could actually go to bed at night. But, after doing it for many years, I started to get better and better at it. And it's really just become a major part of who I am and a real passion for me. And I ended up going to the number one ranked wrestling high school in the country and then, on a scholarship to Maryland. And now I'm a wrestling coach up at Columbia University. Yeah.
Fantastic. Good for you. So when did you first become aware of homophobia in athletics and kind of what sparked your interest in that area?
Yeah. I mean, I think I became aware of it, at a far earlier age than when I felt comfortable doing something about it. yeah. In fact, most of my life I was quite complacent and I did not speak out or take a stand. But the truth is, from the earliest age, regardless of what team I was on, my teammates and my coaches often would say homophobic and I think sexist things. It was very much part of the athletic culture that raised me. And so by virtue of that, my words and actions in many ways were an extension of that. And I think I was just as guilty as the next athlete of saying, oh, that's so gay, or, man up, these words that have a tendency to diminish and divide. And it wasn't until I got to the University of Maryland that I really realized that was a problem and I started to do something about it.
Now, was there a particular incident that sort of moved you into that place to take action?
Sure, yeah. I actually started at the University of Maryland as a theater major. So there weren't too many of us, Division I wrestlers / theater majors, but something pretty, there was a light switch moment, so to speak. In my first month as a theater student, I was sitting next to this kid, Matt, who had sat to my right every day for the first month of school. And one day he stood up and said, class, I have an announcement, I'm gay. And next thing I know, something really special happened. The entire class just started clapping and giving Matt high fives and hugs. And all of a sudden I was witnessing this wonderful, beautiful makeshift coming out party. I saw Matt take this really personal but public step and be just completely welcomed with open arms. And it was really nice to see. And then to go back across campus, to go back down into the locker room a few hours later, and to hear my teammates then use that homophobic and derogatory and demeaning language, just kind of put it into perspective for me in a way that it hadn't been before. It made me step back and question if that was what is that what the sport of wrestling is? I mean, is that who we are? Is that what it means to be an athlete, that we use this type of language? And it was because of Matt that I really decided that was not the legacy that I want to leave behind, and that I was in a unique position to do something about it.
Wow. So tell us how your peers reacted the first time you spoke out.
Well, I have to say I took it slowly because, as I'm sure many folks know, when you decide to take a stand, we're all coming to this conversations at varying levels of comfort. And even though I had a friend who was now coming out, I was still really scared of what my teammates would say or how they would react. And so I took small, simple steps in the right direction. I'd say my first form of outspokenness was through Facebook and Twitter, kind of using my virtual voice as a platform. And that was kind of a little bit of a safer way for me to at least let it be known what it was I stood for and believed in without having to have those difficult conversations. And then I went a little bit further. I got a little bit more comfortable. I started to wear, LGBT ally T-shirts and safe space stickers and put it in my locker. And I became a walking billboard of allyship. And then gradually, I got comfortable engaging my teammates in the conversation. And, a lot of the time it wasn't, hey, don't use that kind of language, but really just asking questions of one another, saying, hey, is that the word you mean to use? Or do you realize what that word means? Or do you realize how that makes us look? Because I think the biggest thing for changing athletics, and I think changing the word choice of my teammates, is getting people to think critically about their place in a larger community. And unless athletes and other individuals have that context and start to gain the perspective necessary to understand that their words expand and resonate beyond athletics into other areas of life, I don't think a whole lot's going to change. And so, I started asking questions of my teammates, and I think they really understood. They were willing to get behind it, because at the heart of athletics is really the idea of equality, that, if you're young or old or tall or short or gay or straight, it shouldn't matter so long as you can compete. And I think when I started to advocate, that was something that my teammates understood, my coaches understood, and made my message really well received.
So as you began to speak out and post on Facebook and Twitter, did you get any pushback from your colleagues or your coaches?
I didn't get as much pushback as you would think. When you make it about respect and how we treat one another, it becomes something that I believe a lot of athletes and a lot of individuals are willing to get behind. But what did happen in my senior year, and kind of the catalyst for me being doing the work that I'm doing on the level that I'm doing it, was I put this the Human Rights Campaign sticker on my headgear, and all of a sudden that did a couple things. First, it changed the conversation with my teammates from being less about how we treat one another, and more about, these are my political beliefs, these are my religious beliefs, and you will never convince me otherwise. And so all of a sudden, these really great conversations I was having with my peers just sort of devolved into who could yell louder for longer. that was probably the first time that it really made me aware that, there are some people that, regardless of how you frame it or how you go about starting this conversation, that they're not going to agree with you, and you're going to hit a wall at some point. And so I think it was because of those conversations that I tried to just bring my message and the work that I do back to respect and creating a safe space. And so I'm very conscious not to go into the political or religious place, because there are just some folks that you may not be able to speak to. But I think when you bring it back to how we treat one another, that's something that everybody can understand.
Sounds a lot like the Thanksgiving dinner table, right? You don't ever talk about politics or religion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, why do you think homophobia is such an issue, or still such an issue, in sports today? Is it really all about the locker room still?
Well, I think it's a couple things. I see it as a bunch of things. First, I think homophobia and sexism are kind of one and the same, in that a lot of the athletes and a lot of the individuals who say homophobic things don't necessarily feel like they're homophobic, but it comes from an improper assumption of masculinity and femininity, right? So there's this assumption in sport still that in order to be, say, a successful male athlete, you have to be masculine. In order to be masculine, you have to be straight. And so using homophobic words, using sexist language, is the easiest way for someone to diminish another individual's masculinity. And I think we see the inverse with female athletes. You know, a successful female athlete is assumed to be more masculine. And because of that, people place that lesbian label on female athletes. And so we have this culture of sport that keeps a lot of male athletes in the closet, and a lot of female athletes, I think, from, you know, speaking out as allies because they're constantly fighting that lesbian label. And it's a really difficult situation. I'd also say that the structure of athletics is what makes it a continually homophobic place. And what I mean by that is athletics is a competitive reward structure. And so from a very early age, I'm learning that I need to rank myself against my teammates. You know, there's varsity and junior varsity, captain and not captain, good and not good. And I think that desire to kind of place yourself on this totem pole is where a lot of that homophobic language comes from. Because I think a lot of young athletes growing up can say, hey, you know, dude, you're a fag. And that's one way that they can knock somebody else down to pick themselves up. Because sport, in many ways, is still this cult of masculinity. And it is running on these improper and harmful assumptions.
Yeah. No, I think you hit the nail on the head. I worked in law enforcement for almost my entire career and saw exactly that same dynamic take place. Because it's still, you know, law enforcement is very much a masculine profession. There are women that have certainly made their way into it, but they have always been less than men, you know, in terms of the culture. And that dynamic is very much in place. So I totally get it. And it makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about this organization you created and what its mission is.
So a little over a year ago, I founded this nonprofit called Athlete Ally with a really simple goal, trying to educate and empower as many straight allies as possible to speak out against homophobia and transphobia in sports. You know, I started Athlete Ally because I did this interview in my senior year about being an ally. And in response to this one interview, I got like 2,000 emails from closeted kids across the country who all said to me, for the first time in my life, I feel like I can join a sports team. And it really made me realize, you know, if a college wrestler can get that kind of response for just speaking out as an ally, the power of a football player or a basketball player or a coach or an entire team or an entire athletic department speaking out as an ally would change people's lives. And so a lot of what I do with Athlete Ally is just working with student athletes, trying to remove the obstacles they perceive to stand in their way. So how do I help them have a voice? So we have about 40 Athlete Ally ambassadors, and these are student athletes across the country who want to engage their athletic community in this conversation. And so we give them talking points, we help them schedule meetings, and really we just try to help people take collective action, because I think that's really how we can raise the bar. You know, if one person takes a stand or signs a pledge, it's great, but it's kind of just another number. But if we can get, you know, the entire student section to wear Ally t-shirts, now we've changed the fan culture at a school. You get the entire all the athletes to, you know, sign an Athlete Ally pledge, and all of a sudden, you know, we've created single-handedly a new standard of athletic integrity, and all of a sudden it becomes unacceptable to use that kind of language. And so that's really the mission I'm on, is just all about empowerment, all about helping others spread the word, and hoping it reaches the people that need to hear it most.
So tell us where people can go to learn more about the organization.
Yeah, www.athleteally.org. You can find us there. You can take the pledge, the Athlete Ally pledge. Please share it with anyone and everyone you know. And, you know, just continue to to help out in whatever way you feel you can. I mean, my biggest thing is that progress can't occur unless we're willing to have those difficult conversations. And so, you know, as I go around the country and advocate to these different athletic departments, I'm on this mission to bring the voice of allyship to places where it may have never been before. Because I think once this message of respect and inclusion and making sportsmanship synonymous with allyship gets brought into every locker room across the country, we're finally going to be able to make sport everything we know it can be.
Fantastic. Well, I know you're working with one of our colleague organizations, Campus Pride. Tell us a little about what you're doing with Campus Pride. And
sure. So Campus Pride, I'm very excited. They're putting out this this climate survey for LGBT athletes in college athletics, and really they're putting a number on how many openly gay athletes there are competing in the NCAA. And I think I'm really excited about Campus Pride and work they're doing, because you know, their work gives my advocacy context in a way that I never could, right? So I can go and I can talk to student athletes and I can tell them why they should be allies, but until we can point to those openly LGBT members of their community and say, you know, this is part of your experience, whether you know it or not. You know, you have friends and teammates and frat brothers and sorority sisters who are gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender, and you know, this issue matters to you. I think that's a really crucial thing in the advancement of equality across the country. And so, Campus Pride has been spearheading that. They are also their climate indexes are really, really special, and I know that they're going to start ranking athletic programs in colleges across the country, which is another incentive to help us be better, which is just such a great thing. So really excited to be working with them and helping what they do in whatever way I can, because I think it's just so important to advancing equality in sport.
Fantastic. Well, hopefully that new index will have as much impact as the existing campus climate index. I know it's really helped us at our college get people moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
So I got a chance to preview Legalize Gay, which premieres next month on May 5th, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us about the Legalize Gay documentary and, you know, what it was like to become so visible now in a film.
Well, I don't know yet. We'll see on May 5th what it's like, but it was really a treat to be able to tell my story and you know, into a camera and kind of I don't know, just tell people why I'm doing what I'm doing in a more visible way is always a very special thing. And so I feel very honored and lucky to be able to not only be a part of this movement but be a part of this documentary. I mean, you know, a year and a half ago I graduated college in 2010, so a couple years ago, I didn't think I would be advocating in this space. I had no idea that I would be on the road, you know, now speaking at colleges and starting a nonprofit. And so I'm incredibly humbled and honored to even be included in this documentary. And I really hope for any of you who are listening, you'll check it out on May 5th.
And it's going to air on Logo, right?
Yeah.
Logo Network? Yeah. Okay, great.
That's correct.
Great. Well, we're definitely going to get some information out to the listeners about that as well. Let me shift gears a little bit and talk about professional sports. You know, we've seen some really visible examples of homophobia in the media, in the professional sports area, you know, with slurs used by some pretty high-profile athletes. And we've also seen some pretty strong condemnation by league officials.
Sure.
Are these examples of homophobia exceptions in professional sports, do you think, or just the ones that are catching the media's eye?
Well, I think they're the ones that are catching the media's eye. I mean, you know, you have Kobe Bryant and what is his name? Joaquin Noah, the two basketball players who both got fined for using homophobic slurs, but you can, you know, they were caught on camera, and so it was very hard to deny that it was happening. Whereas, you know, we look at hockey, and we have this Philadelphia Flyer. I think his name is Fitzsimmons,
right?
Who also said a homophobic slur, supposedly, but the NFL decided that it was inconclusive, and they couldn't confirm that's what happened, and so there was no sanction, there was no penalty. So I mean, I think that we still have some, you know, that there's just professional sports is getting better, and I wanna make that really clear. I mean, the fact that there are fines and suspensions really should be applauded, but the truth is that it's all reactionary, you know. It's all in response to something homophobic, something bad. And so, while I think it's great that we're saying that professional sports franchises are saying, you know, this is not acceptable, this is not who we are, I think in order to really change professional sports and you know, stop that type of language, it needs to be institutionalized in a way that it isn't. You know, I think teams, and they need to take proactive steps, both in policy and in procedure. You know, the fact that 8 professional baseball teams all made an It Gets Better video, you know, that's a really powerful statement, and I think that raises the bar a little bit higher. And I would like to see, you know, more teams kind of follow suit, because, you know, an affirming voice is a different statement than a reactive voice, you know, than saying, well, this is not what I meant to say, I'm sorry if I offended anyone, versus this is not what you know, my team represents, and you know, we're doing all these things because this is who we are, we're allies. But we definitely have a long way to go. We've come a long way, but I'm definitely encouraged by the progress made in really in 2011 alone.
Sure. Well, you mentioned the It Gets Better videos, and there have been a number of sports teams that have put together some pretty powerful messages. And although these are, I guess, intended for young teens, tell me what type of impact do you think they have on college and professional athletes who see their peers speaking out?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, people always say, what's it going to take to change the culture of sport? And you hear a lot of interviews that say, well, it's going to take, you know, that professional athlete to come out. That's really going to be the tipping point. And I think that's true. That'll make a lot of difference. But I kind of see it as a chicken or the egg kind of thing, you know. Until we have a critical mass of straight eyes who are vocal supporters, that athlete's not going to feel comfortable coming out, whether it's in high school or college or professional sports. And so every single team that makes an It Gets Better video is another voice that's helping athletes come out across the country. You know, in many ways, athletes are not only leaders, but heroes. You know, when I was a young kid, I looked up to professional athletes. You know, they were my role models. And I think for that closeted kid, hearing their favorite professional sports team making It Gets Better video and show support will just do so much good, and could be the major difference in helping that person come out. And so I think it's great. I think it's definitely a major reason why we're seeing more and more athletes come out in high school and in college, and I hope before long at the professional level.
Great. Well, tell us about your plans for the future.
My plans for the future. I mean, right now I'm just trying to continue to grow and build Athlete Ally. I mean, there's so much work that needs to be done in the sports space still. So I am just championing that cause as much as I can. I'm traveling the country now, speaking at a lot of different schools, you know, just trying to get to as many coaches and student athletes as possible. And then, you know, I'm also a wrestling coach, so just really trying to make Columbia, you know, be the best it can be. We have a really talented young group of guys, and, you know, I want to see them get on that podium and, you know, get some All-Americans and, you know, get our team to be a nationally recognized program. So, you know, I'm doing a bunch of different things, but I'm just so fortunate and lucky to be able to be doing what I'm doing.
And the work that you are doing is so incredibly important. If a school wants to have you come and speak, where would they go to learn information about how to get you scheduled?
You can just, I signed with a speakers bureau. So if you go to campusspeak.com, I have a little page on there that has my contact information and can, you know, pretty much open the doors for any type of communication to get me to come out. So,
terrific. And give us your website once again for Athlete Ally.
www.athleteally.org.
Fantastic. Hudson Taylor, you're doing amazing work. Thank you so much for being with us tonight on Outbeat Now.
Thank you so much for having me.